Family, welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, and we're going to have some real good conversations on tonight's show. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. Give me a call. Let's chop it up, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to do now, we're going to take that real quick commercial break, though, family. So don't move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Listen up, family. Are you looking for some amazing beats for your next project? Then check out my man at DesmondABeats.com. He has hip-hop, R&B, pop tracks, everything you need to have a dope song. Go to DesmondABeats.com right now because he's running a limited time deal on beats and you don't want to miss out on this. He also has a song mixing and mastering service so you can get that crisp, tight sound. So again, go to DesmondABeats.com.
You look out your window and see people enjoying a beautiful day, but you can't because you need to wait for hours at the tax office to do your taxes. Those days are over. Let Hoosier Tax Man help you. We do tax preparation, individual and business. And best of all, you don't have to leave home. With our virtual tax prep service, submit your documents to our secure and encrypted portal. We use the same level of security your bank uses for online banking. We are licensed and bonded, and you'll get the maximum refund guarantee. Call us at 1-800-951-9591, 1-800-951-9591, or visit us at HoosierTaxMan.com.
This is the Fortune 500 marketer, Musa Ali. Are you an entrepreneur looking to brand your business, or are you looking for ways to level up your own personal brand to create a larger reach? Well, join me in Oakland, California on February 10th, and I'll give you the secrets on how to build a multi-million dollar brand. To purchase tickets, go to universitybrand.eventbrite.com. Again, that's universitybrand.eventbrite.com. Spots are filling fast, so don't miss out on this opportunity to take your business and life to the next level.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Man, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody. At crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
Yeah. Oparus.com, that's the website. A lifestyle way more than a name brand. Plenty of apparel, yeah, they're changing the game, man. To make you fresh, that was part of the game plan. And they talking financial independence. Oparus even talking health and wellness. You need to check this if you want to elevate. Oparus is the real deal, better get it straight. Hey, yeah, they got what you like. So ahead of the rest, so visit the website. That's Oparas. Yeah, that's Oparas. Oparus.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? Glad to be live, broadcasting live from Flaw Scandalous. Ready to chop it up with the family. I hope everybody has their 1804 DVD, The Hidden History of Haiti. You can get that at 1804movie.com. And I know all of you have all of your Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Ladies and gentlemen, shout out to everybody listening live all around the world. Ready to chop it up. Oh, by the way, let me thank everybody for giving props to the ISM Radio Reality Show pilot that I posted up on the ISM Radio page. If you guys are on YouTube, go to YouTube, type in IZM, ISM Radio, and subscribe to that page. We put up a pilot that we shot for a reality show. And everybody's loving the pilot. They're waiting on the next episode. We did a 30-minute pilot. And we're trying to come up with some ideas on what to do. We're thinking about doing the network thing. But, you know, truth be told, a lot of people are not really rocking with networks like that. A lot of people are doing stuff through Netflix. A lot of people are doing stuff online because that's where stuff blows up. And you can remain in control of your product. So what we're going to do, I've got a pretty good idea what we want to do with the web series. So we can control the content, because we're going to have to start keeping control of our own media. That's why the Hidden Color series and the 1804 movie, it's been so successful, and I have not allowed any organization from the dominant society to wrestle control over that brand. It's very important to keep control of that brand so that we can talk about things and keep it in the direction we want to keep it in. So with the web series, I want to do the same thing. What I want to do, we're going to do a crowdfunding thing with the web series. We'll do a little crowdfunding so that'll help offset some of the cost to just keep doing the series. We'll shorten it up every week, make it real interesting. And also what I want to do with this, with the ISM Radio reality show web series, I've always wanted to travel around the country to show off different black businesses. I was going to do something separate with that because we really don't have that. Going around the country, showing all the black businesses all around, because there's a lot of businesses we don't even know about until we go to certain cities. They just don't get that pub. So what I want to do with the ISM Radio show, one thing that we'll do, because the my lovely co-host, Miss Layla and Miss Bree, they've been talking about going on the road, talking about we need to do a road trip, we need to go on the road. So this would be a good opportunity while we're doing the reality show to go to different cities and go to the different black-owned restaurants and the black-owned stores to let us know what's out there. I think that shit would be a bomb-ass idea. I think that would be real fly. I think something like that would be real, real fly. Because there's restaurants out there and there's businesses out there that's bomb as hell. Like when I did a lecture recently out here in Long Beach, and I met a sister right out here in L.A. Didn't even know about this sister, but she has like this homemade lemonade that she bottles and sells. And I drank this shit, man. It was so bomb. I ordered like 2 cases of that shit from her. I still got lemonade piled up in my kitchen. But that would be real fly, going around showing a lot of the black businesses that's around the country that just don't get that pub. I think that would be real fly. I think that'd be real fly. So I'm going to keep you guys posted on that. But again, for the time being, go to ISM Radio. And also, you can go to the ISM Radio website to hear the audio of the broadcast that we do, ismradio.com. But subscribe to the YouTube channel. Yesterday, we had our brother Michael Jai White, man, one of the greatest martial artists in the movie game. And the brother was dropping some very heavy game, man. I love having Deep Cats on there who's breaking the game down, showing you how to get it, showing you how to be independent and get it. Black Dynamite is one of my favorite movies, man. And I got a lot of respect for that brother and what he does. But I'll keep you guys posted on what we're going to do with the reality show crowdfunding, because that's something that we're going to do. We're definitely going to do that. And I got some great ideas, and we can control the content. And you see the quality is going to be up to par and above expectation. So I want to keep that momentum going. But I digress. So let's chop up some game tonight, family. A lot of folks in the YouTube chat room. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat room. The phone number is 818-850-5404. Let me see who's on the phone now. A lot of folks are calling. Let me see if I can answer a call now. Hello? Whoop, I made a mistake and hung up on somebody. My bad. I hung up on somebody. But again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number, ladies and gentlemen. And also, shout out to my people over in Zimbabwe and Dubai. I will be over there next week. I will be in Zimbabwe next week. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, Flex? This is Joe from Houston, Texas.
Joe from Houston. How are you, brother?
Pretty good. Real quick, I got two quick questions. I ain't going to take too long. I'm going to get the hell up off your phone.
Go ahead.
Just one quick comment. I just discovered you not too long ago, and I have all four Hidden Colors, 1804. You really opened my eyes, bro, so I appreciate that. Question number one. I wanted to get your opinion on this recent story I heard about where it was a school teacher who had assigned their students this assignment that said, give three reasons why slavery was bad and three reasons why slavery was good.
I heard about that.
And I was like, can you actually do this in school nowadays? And like, you look at this, like, how can you deny that systematic white supremacy is fake? How could you deny that?
Yeah, so that's why it's up to us to counter it. That's why it's up to us. We got to stop this thing where we're trying to convince them that white supremacy exists. They know it exists.
Right.
We waste a lot of energy trying to get... This is what we do. This is where black people fuck up. We got this thing where we're trying to get the white supremacists to confess. You see, we're putting all the power.
Yeah.
We're giving them the power again. They are going to deny as long as they can. And the denial becomes so asinine and ridiculous. And we pull our hair out like, hey, that's ridiculous. You see this happening. You see it. We got this thing. Look, don't waste another minute trying to convince them to confess. They're never going to confess. Look at this thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump had a meeting and he said that Africa and Haiti are shitholes. And and one guy went out there.
You hear a lot of people saying, well, he's just telling the truth.
Yeah, but also
a lot of people in the dominant society saying
but
that.
But the people around him, the people who were in the White House, who was in that room with him, they're all acting like they don't know what he said. They are talking about, well, I don't recall him saying that. I do know he was using tough language. All of them are acting dumb like they don't remember him saying that. See, that's a code. Mm-hmm. They know what he said. They know it was racist, but they know how to stick to a code. That's how they maintain white supremacy, by being on code. We got to be on code about being empowered, man. That's all there is to it. Thanks for the call, though, brother. Yeah, we got to get off this thing where we're waiting on the white supremacists to make this big confession and then make them rectify what they've done. We can't wait on that, family. And it's very important that we start creating the tools necessary to empower ourselves. And one way to empower ourselves is to understand the obstacles that the white supremacists put in our way. And that's going to be a part of today's theme on the show. Really about black Americans being on our own as far as that front. And I'm going to explain why. I'm going to explain why later, but that's the whole theme of today's show as far as really setting the foundation of global black empowerment. It's going to be with us, black Americans. I want y'all to really understand that. And that's harsh. It's not to shit on anybody from other countries. Again, I've been to several countries. I've been to the UK. Those brothers and sisters there are, you know, anti-racism. Many of them, many brothers and sisters in Africa are anti-racism. But the thing is, a lot of the coonery outweighs a lot of the empowerment in a lot of these places. We're going to have to be real, and I'm going to touch on that. I'm going to really get deep on that, and I touched on it a little bit on Ustream. Well, not even Ustream, this my live YouTube show this Sunday, but I'm going to talk a little deeper about it again. But another thing I want y'all to notice, because the white supremacists are really codifying their language and their messages, they're becoming bolder. The white supremacist males, they're going for that Eurasian connection. And I've been talking about that for the longest. And mainstream media outlets are talking about how the alt-right and some of the white extremist groups are getting with Asian women. There's an Asian fetish. I think the New York Times or the New Yorker, one of those magazines, they had a story about that earlier this week. And well, last week, actually. And I've been talking about this for years, that Asian alt-right connection. That's been there for a long time. This is why it's important for us to drive the narrative. Because if you notice, a lot of times, mainstream media outlets, they will jump on a story only when we make it hot. We got to get in front of all this stuff, and we have to drive the narrative and force them to discuss some of this stuff. And a lot of the white supremacist females, they see that the white extremist males are kind of leaving them in the dust a little bit. So they're trying to let them know, hey, we're still team white supremacy too. If you need us, don't leave us in the dust. We'll be your tool. We'll do whatever we need to do, but we're still team white supremacy. Like the white females like Tommy, Lauren, all of these suspected, well, not even suspected, straight up white supremacist females. They're letting people know in the dominant society, use us. Don't leave us for these Asian women. We're still down. We'll even fuck some of these Negroes and infiltrate, but we're still going to be team white supremacy. There was a white supremacist female who poured acid on herself last week. She poured acid on herself, and she said that a black woman in her 40s ran up and did it. And come to find out that the woman was lying. She poured acid on herself because what she was trying to do, she was trying to get sympathy. She was trying to create a negative atmosphere for black people out there in her area, which is what they always do. These white supremacists will report a fake crime that a fake black person did. And then there's this whole anti-black movement within these communities, and they're willing to harm themselves in order to create that narrative. And the woman who did it, I've seen pictures of this woman, and she's around these mixed looking kids. And I'm trying to see, does this woman have kids by a black dude? We got to understand, just because these white supremacist females will lay up with you and use a little black slang or whatever, they're still team white supremacy. Tommy Lauren, the white supremacist female, she did a Snapchat video where she was rapping. She was rapping 21 Savage. And do you know there were Negroes talking about how cute she was rapping 21 Savage? It's like the King Kong thing. The white supremacist female knows that music will calm the savage beast. We got to stop acting like King Goddamn Kong when it comes to these white supremacist females. These niggas think Tommy Lauren is bae because she rapped a couple of lyrics. This woman is extremely dangerous. Brother starts simping because Tommy Lauren was doing a little rapping. Fellas, these white women will use, and I'm talking about the white supremacist women, they will wrap their mouth around black dick, wrap their coochie around black balls, and get about that bed and be alt-righting the hell out of you. They'll get out of bed and say, hey, this nigga just raped me, just like that chick did with Nelly, that suspected white supremacist female did with the rapper Nelly. She went up in Nelly's tour bus, fucked the shit out of him. And she tried to get some money out of Nelly or something. And I think Nelly gave her $100 and she ran to the police talking about Nelly raped her. She was gobbling and bobbing on dick. And when she didn't get what she wanted, she ran to the police and said Nelly raped her. And they believed it and immediately raped him. It don't work like that with sisters. If a sister go and say a white dude raped her, well, What were you wearing? No, I got raped. We're going to do a little investigating before we do anything. Now, let's look into your background. Now, what were you arrested for 5 years ago? They're going to get into your background. You dig? Well, Negro, you shouldn't have been wearing that short skirt. You shouldn't have been a little Negro Jezebel. Then the white man wouldn't rape you. See, they reprimand you. But we got to understand, the white supremacist female, they're letting the white supremacist male know, hey, don't leave me behind. I'm on code. There was a video that went viral of this white supremacist Trump supporter, and she was all giddy over Trump's shithole comments about Africa and Haiti being shitholes. Now listen to this woman. This is a female Trump supporter. Listen.
All right, peeps, I'm listening to the news and I have to laugh. President Trump tweeted, why do all these people coming here from their shit countries? I freaking love it. I love this man. Oh my God, and you're going to tell me how many, we've all said it, we've all thought it, we, you know, you say it among your family, your friends.
Ooh, I want y'all to catch what she's saying. Now, she's so comfortable and giddy now, she's telling the truth. I like when white supremacists tell the truth. You say, we say it among family and friends. You know, we practice racism in private, but oh, thank God, Trump is letting us be open with our white supremacy. Thank you so much, Trump. This is what this woman is saying, basically.
Tell me how many, we've all said it, we've all thought it, you say it among your family, your friends. And he just freaking comes right out and says it. I love this man. He is freaking awesome. He is great. And he's right. Why are they all coming here? They're not assimilating into our country. Why are they coming here? Stay in your little shithole countries. Stay there. We don't want you here. What are you bringing to this country?
Well, and my answer to that, and look, you can't really be logical with the white supremacists, but the reason why their countries are quote-unquote shitholes is because you white supremacists made them shitholes, because you control not only their country, you control the globe. You control every piece of resource on this planet, and you create the shitholes. You drain the resources. You sabotage these countries. You create wars in these countries, and you create all of the shitholeness. So it's the white supremacists' fault 100%.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing you bring into this country. I love it. I just have to laugh. I'm sorry, guys. He is the freaking bomb. He is the best. Love this.
Oh, listen to her slang. Oh, she thinks she's so down. You know what she said? This woman sounds like she could be a school teacher or something. Women like that, these are the kind of women who are school teachers. Women like, they talk all that slang. Sounds like this woman used to be a school teacher or something. I would really like to know what her background is. Yeah, somebody in the chat room said she sounds like East Coast white trash. Yeah, it sounds like she's from Boston or some bullshit. You dig? But yeah, oh yeah, the bomb. He's so the bomb. Shut up.
This man. Because look, he's saying what we all think, what we all say, and so on and so forth. It's just awesome. It's so refreshing to have a president like this. Just say what you got to say. What do you got to lose? Just say what you got to say. Because let me tell you, more than half of this country is all thinking the exact same thing.
And that I agree with. I agree with her ass. I agree with her 100%.
Stay where you are. Why? Why come here? You don't assimilate to this country. You're not bringing anything. You're not. It's just. I love him. I freaking love him. And all the Democrats are up in arms. Everybody's going crazy.
Oh, and she's. Oh, everybody's up in arms. Everybody's going crazy. Black folks, I want y'all to understand. The white supremacists like this. I mean, she's almost orgasmic. You listen to her. She's almost orgasmic. They love when non-white people, especially black people, are getting shitted on. Y'all don't understand how orgasmic that is to a white supremacist. To see black people get shitted on, that's their identity. I mean, they wake up for this. If black folks couldn't get shitted on, there would be no reason for them to get out the damn bed. they would just kill over and die. There's nothing else to live for if black folks aren't getting shitted on. I mean, they wake up to that. When they're asleep at night, they roll over, get on Twitter to see what black folks can we troll. That's why they're trolling black folks all day. That's why they're on white supremacist websites like 4chan and Stormfront, just all day whining about black people. That's part of their culture. White supremacist culture is how bad are black folks doing? How can we shit on them? And how we can make that entertaining and fun and work. Like Neely Fuller said, the white supremacists, what makes them successful, they have meshed work and play together, where it's work because they get stuff done by dominating, mistreating, and controlling black people, and they made that fun. So it's fun to put in work against black people. See, with us, we don't think it's fun to empower ourselves. See, we think that's just hard work. It's more fun to be bullshitting around and trying to be on some intersectional shit. See, it's fun to be bullshitting, but when it comes to putting in work about empowerment, oh no. See, we got to make that fun. We got to turn empowerment into fun. We got to make work and fun mesh together. We got to master that.
It's just... I love him. I freaking love him. All the Democrats are up in arms. Everybody's going crazy. He said that. Oh, well, then that kind of sucks. Truth hurts, doesn't it? All right, peeps. That's all I got right now. I love it. I just freaking love it. Peace out, peeps. And talk to you guys soon.
All the hip-hop, all the old 90s. You know, and you know what? It also, not only does it sound like she used to be a teacher, it sounds like she done fucked some niggas, too. When you have, she's like a middle-aged white woman. She looks like she's in her 50s. That means she might be around 35, okay? She looks like she might be 50-something, but she might be 35. Just like, what's her name? Sarah Sanders Huckabee. Sarah Sanders Huckabee looks like she's damn near 60 years old. Sarah Sanders is what, 34, 35? You understand? But sounds like this woman here, she done fucked some niggas before. Some brothers done ran up in her back in the day when she was hot in college. And she done picked up a couple of slang words. Now she thinks she's down. But that's what that sounds like. And there's another video that I'm going to play. I'm going to play you the audio of a white supremacist female who went to the University of Alabama. She was a sorority girl. Her name was Haley something. What was her last name? I forgot her last name. But, you know, I helped break this story yesterday. And the University of Alabama, they were retweeting me talking about they had a meeting and all this stuff. And they finally put out something where they put her out of the sorority. And they put this white supremacist female out of the school. They finally expelled her out of the school. Now, this is a younger white supremacist female. This is another one who she has that East Coast accent. Now, this white woman is from Jersey, but she was going to school in Alabama. And she went on a Snapchat, Instagram, anti-black rant on Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. Now, listen to this.
Wanted to be an alpha since I was fucking in high school, and nobody fucking understands how much I love alpha. And now someone wants to stake my fence to because I said nigger. You know what? Nigger.
No,
I don't care if it's Martin Luther King Day. Nigger. I'm in the South now, bitch. So everyone can fuck off. I'm from New Jersey. So I can say nigger as much as I want. Nigger. And if anyone else wants to fucking snake me on my fucking Finsta for saying nigger, I'm in a fur vest. I want you to buy my fucking fur vest. Because fuck you.
Now, I want y'all to... Now, this one white girl is doing all the nigger talk. But notice all the other white females in the background giggling with her. All right, don't be lost on that. She has a car full of her white supremacist female friends giggling in the background.
Go to Neiman Marcus and buy my fucking fur vest, because fuck you. If you fucking snake me to my fucking sorority, that means fucking everything to me. Because fuck you. I would literally take a...
Okay, so she's she got real comfortable and went on a nigger rant. And, you know, we made that thing go viral. The school got rid of her. It was a big uproar at the school. And something I noticed about her, and one thing, they expelled her from the school. And I want to know what's going to be done to the other white supremacist females who were in the car with her. They should not get a pass either. That's why we're trying to find some information on those other white supremacist females who was in the car with her. See, they like to lone wolf the white supremacists when they do something. If that was a car full of black folks and one black person said something greasy, that whole car would be under hot water. You understand? But with this white supremacist female going nigga, 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 every other word was nigga, something dawned on me. The reason why she's so comfortable saying that, because she sounds like she's been fucking brothers too. See, the thing is, a lot of times when these white supremacists get real comfortable with using nigga openly like that, and she's just using it with all types of confidence and swag, usually it's women like that who done fucked a couple of brothers, and she done said some shit around brothers, and they acted like coons because they were so happy to have a little white chooch. So she thought she had a pass to go out openly talking that shit. And what I found out later today, somebody had a recording of her talking to one of her friends, and she was talking about how she was sorry, how she don't want to be expelled, and how she has sex. She's not racist because she has had sex with football players, meaning the black ones. Sounds like she's alluding to she has had sex with black football players, so she's not really racist, which is what I thought anyway. She has that look like she done had a couple of brothers run a train on her. And I want y'all to understand, just because these little white supremacist females let you smut them out, they will get out of that bed and be on some nigga, nigga, nigga talk. You better believe and understand that your dick will not trump the benefits and the privileges and the advantages of systematic white supremacy. We got to get off that bullshit. We really got to get off that shit. You cannot fuck your way into empowerment, family. That ain't going to work. I want y'all to really understand that. You think, I'm going to just dick this crazy racist bitch down. Nah. That's just making you another plantation buck. Understand, in slavery, you don't think some of those white supremacist female slave owners weren't fucking niggas? Understand, there are white supremacist female slave owners. There's a bunch of them. You better believe they were having sex with their bucks. The men were, the white supremacist males, they were raping brothers left and right. We know what they were doing to the women. So don't think that you're going to fuck your way through that. They understand. They know how to distance themselves psychologically from the sexual denigration of their victims. They love taking sexual advantage of their victims. And the white supremacists, they know how to distance emotion from that. They know how to just make it a physical pleasure. The white supremacists, they'll go fuck a horse. There's a case in Alabama right now. This dude named Daniel, can't think of his last name, Daniel something. But this week, down in Alabama, a white dude got arrested for repeatedly raping a horse. You Google that right now if you think I'm making that up. Down in Alabama. His name is Daniel something. Just type in Daniel molesting horse in Alabama and you'll see it this week. This goofy fucking redneck, his mugshot is all over the place. Nigga, they'll go fuck a horse, and that's how they look at you when they have sex with you. You're just another horse or sheep or another animal that they're having sex with. That's why they would call you bucks. A buck is a bull, a male bovine, a cow, not a cow, but a horse, a stallion, a buck, a male animal. a goat. The white supremacists, there are laws in Europe now to keep them off of goats and sheep. I've talked about some of these bestiality sites. I won't even give y'all the name of the sites. And some of this stuff, what's seen cannot be unseen. This is some of the most vile shit you want to see. I'm not going to even share the sites with you, because I couldn't even finish looking at some of the shit on some of those bestiality sites where these white supremacists are fucking dogs and fucking cats. I mean, it's real graphic. They're very disturbing. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. A buck is a deer. Yes, a hooved animal. But like I was saying earlier, when it comes to empowerment, family, when it comes to laying the foundation for global empowerment, we have to understand as Black Americans that we are in this thing on our own, meaning that we're going to have to really be in the forefront of it. And then when we're on the forefront of it, everybody else will get in line. So I'm not trying to disclude other brothers and sisters globally, but everybody's looking to us. They're looking at our example. See, Black folks have this thing, man, it's so bad over here, we just need to pack up and go to Africa. We don't understand, in parts of Africa, not all parts, but the level of coonery that's going on in Africa right now. Now, I don't want to keep, I keep saying this, and I want people to understand the gravity of it. And I'm going to Africa this week, and I'm not saying everybody in Africa is cooning, because you do have people who are about empowerment. But the thing is, a lot of the coonery outweighs the empowerment. And a lot of times we have to understand there are people who are Black who we think are down just because they're Black. Now, we know what situation they are in. We know what predicament they are in. And a lot of times we think because they look and sound like us, we're supposed to bring them into the circle and they're going to be team empowerment. And a lot of times we bring these people around us and we think that they're on the team, or we entertain these people, and psychologically they're team white supremacy all day. Not only that, they have no psychological identification with us. And I talked about this on my live show this weekend. A lot of people, and we're going to be very honest, who are from the Caribbean and who are from African countries, they do not identify with us, Black Americans. Now, they come over here and they get the benefits of America, and they get the benefits of the civil rights struggle that we led. But a lot of people from the Caribbean, or people who have Caribbean parents or African parents, the first and second generation people from these other countries, a lot of times they simply don't identify with us. So they're not really trying to build or empower us or themselves with us. They're like, let me get mine and let me send it back to my country, because I'm not like these niggas here. Now, I like some of the advantages I get that these Negroes have taken bumps and bruises for. But other than that, I'm not with these Black Americans. Even Black folks who were born here to foreign parents, they identify to the country that their parents are from, because their parents have drilled into them, you're not like these Black Americans, you're something else. As a matter of fact, you're a little better, because we've never been enslaved over in my country. You understand? A lot of them have that mentality. And they don't understand white supremacy is slavery. They don't understand right now you are enslaved, because they enslave you economically. Just because the white slave owner isn't over you beating a whip, they control your economy. They control your resources. That's why when a white supremacist shows up to one of these African countries, they run around with their drums dancing. You know who Massa is. You can call it slavery, colonialism. It's all the same thing. It's white supremacy. Yeah, they call us Akadas as if they're in a better situation, and you're not. We're in the same boat, but see, as Black Americans, we understand that. We're in the belly of the beast. And when you're in the belly of the beast, you can see what it is. Just like during slavery, most of the people who ran away were house slaves. When you look at a lot of the runaway slave notices from the 1800s and 1700s, it was mostly house slaves running away. Many of them were mulattoes. The mulatto women were running away the most because they were right there in the house with the white supremacists, and they saw how much of how degenerate they were up close. So they're like, hey, there's no hope. There's no hope. See, the slave out there in the field, you know, anything is better than just working in the sun all day, eating scraps that's thrown out the back door, sleeping in the cold at night. So they're looking at that big house as a come up. But the slave that's already in that house, they know this ain't really a come up. You know, I get a comfortable bed and the food is better, but shit, I get raped every night. So this ain't really a come up. So you know it doesn't get any better than this. See, the thing is, a lot of African people from other countries, they think, I'm just going to come over here to America and fuck all that fight to power like those Akatas. I'm going to go over there and be a big old coon, and I'm going to come up like that, and I'm going to use my coon money to send over here to my family. And there's a salary cap to cooning. They'll let you coon, you know, to a certain level, then they break you on down. Cooning has a salary cap. See, a lot of folks think they're just going to coon their way to the top. When has that worked? When have they cooned their way to the top and cashed out with some straight up and down long-term cooning? They be getting rid of the coons first. The coon plan backfires on them. And that happens with a lot of people. They come over here and they're like, I'm going to be a coon. I'm going to throw these Negroes under the bus because I ain't like these Akatas. I'm going to be a black Republican. A lot of these people with these Nigerian last names, and I'm not shitting on Nigeria. My folks, a lot of my good folks are from Nigeria, but a lot of these black Republicans have Nigerian family members, Nigerian parents, and they be all up at the Tea Party meetings, kissing ass. And then, and not just Nigeria, there are other African countries. They think they're going to come over here and coon it up. Then all of a sudden, Trump starts deporting your ass. Then, my brother, Black Lives Matter. No, nigga. Sit down, Umdugu. Don't talk that Black Lives Matter shit. Now you about to get deported. I was all types of Akatas and Morasokas. Don't start that now, brother. You should have been on the team before the deportation papers came through. You understand? Now that your country is a shithole, now the African countries are all coming out like, hey, wait a minute, Trump is racist. What you mean Trump is racist? We've been saying that. All the African countries are now talking about racism now. You notice that? All the African countries now are speaking up against Trump's racism now. Because understand, and I talked about this, if you look at a lot of quote unquote black media or black themed websites that show black Americans in a negative light, they are run by people who are first or second generation African or first or second generation Caribbean. Like World Star Hip Hop, that was started by dude Q. Q is Haitian. And understand, a lot of Haitian brothers and sisters now, not all, because there's some Haitian revolutionary brothers and sisters down there in Miami who are down for the cause. Understand, you got some Haitians that are riders. Then again, you got some Haitians who are on the damn coon train. Understand. And that's always been like that. When you had writers like Dessalines, people like that, who were the liberators of Haiti, understand it was coons who killed Dessalines. So the coons have been, they've been there. That coon element has been there. There's always been this civil war between coons and revolutionaries down there. But people like Q, and God rest the dead, the brother died. People have criticized World Star Hip Hop for years about the negative portrayal of Black Americans. And I remember seeing Q do interviews, and you can see it in his eyes. They would talk to him about the negative impact of the images he would post up of Black folks. And I know for a fact, like the alt-right and white supremacist websites, most of the people who watch World Star Hip Hop are white supremacists. They even share World Star Hip Hop links on a lot of white supremacist websites. And people would confront Q about that, and you can look in Q's eyes, he didn't give a fuck. They were like, hey, what's up with these negative images? He's like, shit, oh well. Oh well. You know, stuff happens. You know, I'm just broadcasting what happens. That was his attitude. Look at Love & Hip Hop. All the Love & Hip Hop shows now, let's be real. It's kind of hard to watch him now because it's become a coon mammy ratchet fest. And we know those images of Black women are negative now. Those are horrible negative images of Black women. And the person who puts that together is Mona Scott. Mona Scott is Haitian. Understand that. So when people say to Mona Scott, hey, Mona, the images of Black people in your shows, that's not a good look. Mona don't really give a shit. Just keep cranking it out. See, Black Americans, we will say something about that. There's only so far we'll go once if we have our foot in the door and we're not cooning, we'll say something about those images. Look, I used to do some of those shows, Flavor of Love, and they would have me come in to be the person, the voice of reason. And you can see clips. There's a show I did, Charm School, where I'm in there talking some sense to the girls and they're teaching them some game. And when I was there, Monique was hosting. Shout out to my sister Monique, the actress. And the women in there, they were fighting and acting ratchet. And Monique was behind the scenes checking the producers on that shit. She was telling them, like, hey, this image that you got of Black women, I don't like this. I don't like the image that you have of Black women doing all this shit. I don't like that. She was checking them on that. You understand? That's why with the reality show that we did, so many people liked it, and I wanted to show that, you know, the emphasis of the ISM reality show, I'm focusing on Bri and Layla, and I just want to show sisters who can be funny, witty, entertaining, sexy, all of that without being ratchet, without it being some shit that's just embarrassing. They can be funny, silly, goofy, but it's not ratchet. You can be entertaining in a classy way. Not that we're trying to be on the Huxtable shit, but you can be entertaining and you can show that you have a witty side without the shit just being ratchet coon fest. You dig? What's up, Wake Repeat? Somebody said, what about the stuff you did with Michael Moore? What I did with Michael Moore was the most gangster shit that most Negroes would be afraid to do. When I was on Michael Moore's show, I was clowning the top white supremacists in the country for the laws that they pass and how they use money from major corporations to shit on the public. I was clowning white supremacists in power. That was some bullshit I was doing, and we made it funny and entertaining. It takes balls to do that. Most coons will get around those white supremacists and choke up and get on your knees and start slobbing the knob. I was clowning the shit out of them. That's called gangster shit. You feel me? That's called gangster grown man shit. You dig? That was some genius shit we were doing on the Michael Moore show. We did it in a comedic way where we were clowning these are the big name white supremacists who were making laws, and I was in their faces, a black man in these white supremacist faces, telling them they're whores. Most Negroes don't have the courage of the or the balls to do anything like that. That's why I do what I do, and I get the big dollars. You dig? Because I got the balls to do shit like that and make it entertaining where they can't even do shit because we did it in a satirical way and we checked them and made them look dumb. So when you get the balls to pull off something that fly and that innovative, then you holla at me. But coons don't have the courage to do no gangster shit like that. But I digress. But look at some of these other sites, other websites that show black folks in a negative light. Media Takeout. That site, horrible. Horrible site. Makes up bullshit stories, shows black people in the negative light. The person who owns that site is an African dude. Bossup, Madame Noir, the brother who owns that, he owns Moguldom Media. I think that brother is African because on his YouTube page, he's from Los Angeles, but he said he's Yoruba. So I'm thinking that his parents are Nigerian. He calls himself Yoruba. So the guy who owns that, I think his parents are Nigerian. Now, The Shade Room. I know for a fact that the lady who owns that, she's Nigerian. She's African. The Shade Room, just a gossip site that just kind of shows us in a black Americans in a real janky light on a regular basis. That's what it is. Michael Gardner, you say K. Michelle was about to whoop whose ass? I'm looking at the chat room. Somebody said K. Michelle was about to whoop somebody's ass. Who was K. Michelle about to whoop? The owner of Madame Noir? Or Media Takeout? Somebody said the Media Takeout is the guy is Ugandan. Okay. Okay, Michelle's about to beat up the owner of Bossup. And also Black Lives Matter. One of the women who founded Black Lives Matter, the nonprofit organization, she identifies as a Black/Nigerian. And understand, there's a reason why certain people who don't identify with black Americans, they get elevated to certain places. They get elevated to certain spots. The media will uplift them to a certain degree. Also, the women from the show Insecure, Issa Rae and all those people, most of the women on that show are, their parents are from Africa, or even they are from parts of Africa themselves. So they identify with black Americans on a minimal level. It's always on the outside looking in. And on my show this weekend, I was talking about how Mia Love, she's this black Republican out there in Utah. She's bedwinching. She has the white husband. I think she's a Mormon. And she gets elevated to a certain position. And she has made excuses for white supremacists nonstop. But you notice things about the Mia Loves, the Mona Scotts, the Q's, the people from Media Takeout, the Bossups, the Shade Room. You notice one thing from all these people, and I don't want you guys to miss this. All these people will show black Americans in a negative light, but don't you dare think that they're going to show African people in a negative light or people from their home country in a negative light. They don't show people from the Caribbean in a negative light. You notice that? These people will shit on black Americans all day, but don't you dare say anything about anybody in their home country. They'll cut that shit short. Let's go to Mia Love. Now, Mia Love, she's a white supremacist ass kisser. She's that Utah politician, bed wench. Whenever these white supremacists says anything negative about black Americans, she's making excuses for them all day. When Trump said Africa and Haiti are shitholes, all of a sudden, Mia Love is like, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Now, Trump, you need to apologize for that. Now Trump has to apologize. Because her spot is being shit on now. All, they'll shit on Americans all day, but they don't want you to say anything about their country. Well, I did a video when I was in South Africa. And y'all can look at it on YouTube. Tariq Nasheed shows the real deal about South Africa. Do you know so many South Africans were mad as hell at me? Most of the people upset with me were South African black folks who were from who are living in other countries, living in Australia, living in the U.S., living in the U.K. They were upset because I told the real deal. They like to go to these countries and make it seem like black people in South Africa are just bawling out of control. They try to go to Western countries to erase the negative image of Africa being poor and people living in shanty towns. They don't want to have that image. When in reality, that's exactly what's happening in South Africa. That's not a diss to them. They are still under the thumb of white supremacy. And they were very upset with me because I was going around South Africa trying to find communities of well-to-do or even wealthy black people, and they didn't exist. There were none. I was all over. They didn't exist. I looked. I was all over looking for it. I wasn't doing that to denigrate them. I wanted to see where all of these prosperous black people were living in large numbers in South Africa, and I couldn't find them. And they were getting mad. We do exist. We are there. What's the address? Shit. I'll be glad to promote you. I want to see it. I'm not saying this to denigrate or diss you. Where are these neighborhoods? My cousin, he's a millionaire. Okay, where's your cousin then? Okay, show some pictures. Show me a video of this prosperous black South American community. I ain't talking about one or two black folks. They'll send a video of one black family living comfortable. No. Don't know. We're not talking about tokens. I want to see whole communities of black people in South Africa popping off. I want to see whole communities. Don't give me all your excuses and insults. Show a video, just like I got a video showing everybody in shanty towns and the white supremacists living in condos and nice homes across the street from you. I want to see the same communities of brothers and sisters living like that, and it doesn't exist. And they didn't like that. We're looking at Mandela. No, I ain't talking about Mandela. I ain't talking about him. I'm not talking about some politician. No, communities. You dig? So they don't like that done to their folks. When it's their people, all of a sudden, hey, we got to do something. Now that Trump has shitted on all Africans and people in the Caribbean, now people want to speak up now. And now that the deportation game is popping, now everybody wants to look to us. And you can't be Johnny come lately when it's all about empowering. See, the thing is, a lot of people are opportunists. We got to chill out on the opportunists. And shout out to the South African brothers who put in work at the H&M store. Understand, I've been to South Africa. You do have some revolutionaries out there. Much respect to them. But they got a civil war going on with the revolutionaries and the coons. But understand, just because somebody is black... And also understand this, just because some people start spouting about how they're proud to be black, make sure they're not a slash nigga. Make sure they're not doing the slash nigga routine. Well, I'm black and something else. Well, I'm black and Indian. You watch out for that. That's another trick bag too. When they start doing that slash nigga shit, that's showing you they might be an opportunist. especially when they do black and Latino, just like that real dark-skinned sister on Love & Hip Hop Miami. What's her name? Amanda, what is her name? De Negra something. What's her name, family, in the chat room? The beautiful dark-skinned sister with the afro on Love & Hip Hop. And she goes out of her way to show how Latino she is. I'm a Latina. Amara La Negra, right. Amara the Black. And there was she was having a conversation with a suspected white supremacist Latino talking about, well, she's not the typical Latino because she's too black. So she goes out of her way to show that she's black and Latina. It's like, I'm even though I'm dark and I'm proud, I'm a Latina. Se habla español. She's just talking Spanish and all this old shit. So she has this thing where she's trying to come to terms being a dark Latina and trying to let people know how hard it is and the racism there, which we know. I mean, you step in line and welcome to the club. But the thing is with her, even though she's trying to talk about the racism in Latin countries, she's still on that. I'm black and Latina. She's being a slash Negro. Even though she understands and she can't help but to understand the racism that goes on in her country, she still wants to distance herself from black Americans. You understand that? So she goes out of her way and say, I'm black, but I'm black and Latina, meaning I'm not like these Negroes here. So you got to hold your own empanada. Yeah, Cardi B, all of them, Jocelyn, all of them. You watch these slash Negroes. But the thing is, the white supremacists, they know how to elevate certain blacks who will not electrify the minds of the black American masses because they know we're the sleeping giants. They always have to keep us in check, and they know how to elevate certain black people who they know are not going to identify with the average black American. This is why they elevated Obama. I want y'all to let's put your thinking caps on. There was a reason why they chose Obama. The key word is chose, because Obama never ever identified with black Americans. Look at Obama. Obama's father was what? Kenyan. And his mother was white. Obama never identified with black Americans. That's why they elevated him. That's why they elevated Obama. That's why Obama didn't do shit for black Americans. That's why they put him in power, because they knew there would be no real emotional connection to what was happening to black Americans. If you got a black American in power and they saw, and I'm talking about not a coon. I'm not talking, because you got to raise a coon too. They have to raise coons from a young age. But they got Obama. They know how to make these Manchurian candidates. They know how to engineer the minds of certain black folks. And they knew that Obama wasn't going to identify with the plight of black Americans, because all his life he's been told that he's different. He's not really one of them. That's why he called black folks thugs, and he never did shit to help black people specifically. And we never caught on to that. We think just because he looks like us and he has a black ass wife that he's somehow down. Obama never gave a fuck about us. Let me get even deeper. If you notice, a lot of black folks, especially black men, this is very true for the black men. See, black women, even though they can be fully black American, they know they can get the black female in line, like the Condoleezza Rice and people like that weren't really in power anyway. They didn't have really powerful positions. But notice the black males that they have in political power, they have family members who are Caribbean, and they identify with more Caribbean or African values. Look at Colin Powell, the top military guy. He was a top political figure. Now, Colin Powell, his parents are Jamaican immigrants. So understand, Colin Powell was raised to believe, hey, I'm not like these other black people here in America. Think about this. Let's get deep here. Colin Powell's family, they're Jamaican immigrants. He's Jamaican. So he don't feel like he identified with black Americans. That's why they put him in charge. Let's go even deeper. Eric Holder. He was the top Negro in his field for a minute. But Eric Holder, his family, they're from Barbados. That Caribbean thing. See, the white supremacists, they know what they do when they get these black folks and put them in certain positions. Colin Powell's people are from Barbados. So they told him, you're not like those black Americans. You're not like one of those people. You're from Barbados. Well, we're from Barbados, so that makes you one of us. So you're not like them. That's why Eric Holder didn't do shit for black folks either. Eric Holder didn't do anything. He did what the white supremacists wanted him to do. So we got to understand, when we see certain black folks in certain positions, I see people in the chat room talking about Cory Booker. Cory Booker, what power does he have? I mean, Cory Booker, he was saying some, you know, he was going off on the woman who was in the Trump meeting, whatever. But Cory, he's not really doing anything to get no laws popping like that that cannot be overridden. But understand that. Understand, a lot of these people, man, they identify with their parents' Caribbean roots or their parents' African roots. And understand, all of us in the same boat, but what these other people do, they mind fuck themselves. They play psychological games with themselves, and they're not trying to be about empowerment. They're over here, they're just happy to get off the field, because when you're in Barbados, you're in the field. You're a field slave. See, we have to look at the world as a big plantation. We have to look at it like that, family. The planet is a big plantation. Africa is the field. The Caribbean is the field. And America is the big house. So a lot of these slaves want to get to the big house. They can't wait to get to the big house because they've been in the field so long. They've been living in these countries in the field. And understand, the white supremacists control their countries too. All these Caribbean countries are controlled by the white supremacists, but they don't get to see the white supremacists on a daily basis. Just like in slavery, when black folks were on the field, they didn't see the white supremacists. They didn't see Massa every day. They rarely saw Massa. They picked cotton and went back to the slave quarters. So they rarely saw Massa. And just like these countries out here, they don't get to see Massa. So they're like, shit, I want to go in the house with Massa because it's better than being out here in the field. Ain't no running water in my country. There's cholera in the water. There's no good food. So when I get in the big house, meaning America, I'm going to coon the fuck up. Damn them other niggas trying to get out. Shit, I'm trying to get in. I can't wait to get in the big house, quote unquote America, with Massa. I'm going to show them what cooning is all about. You understand? That's the mentality. So that when they get over here, they be like, fuck what you talking, nigga. I'm about to get 20 jobs. There were no jobs where I was. I'm about to work nonstop. That's why they work so hard. Not that. And I don't say that in a bad way. There's nothing wrong with working hard, and you have to do what you have to do. But being in the belly of the beast is a come up to people who've been in the plantation and been in the field so long suffering. See, the thing is, we've been under the white supremacists. We've been in the belly of the beast because we come from the direct descendants who generated all the wealth. So we've been here from day one. So we've been in the house. You understand? So we know how fucked up it is and how it's not going to get better being around the white supremacists. We know how they sabotage everything. We know all their little dirty tricks and secrets. We know. And all these other groups think, okay, I'm going to send some money back to my uncle in Barbados. I'm going to send some money back to my cousin in Cuba. And my family's going to be straight. And they always shit on you at the end of the day. We have to collectively understand that we're in the same boat. We're all on the same plantation. We all have to empower ourselves. But it's going to be us, Black Americans, in the forefront, because we're the only people who fully understand that. And not all of us fully understand that. We still got coons in denial over here. But we're the only ones who have people in our society who fully understand that. So understand, we got to be in the forefront of that. But anyway, man, that's something to think about for the family. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have y'all tuning in. Well, it's been a long show, man. It's like, shit, it's been an hour and 10 minutes. I've been talking a long time tonight, man. Anyway, man, y'all go to 1804movie.com right now, family. Get the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. Very good movie if you have not seen it. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, later on this week, we're going to post up a Kickstarter for the new reality show, Ism Radio. We're going to get this thing popping independently. We're going to do it on our own. We're going to get people involved. One of the things we're going to do when we do the reality show, we're going to travel and show Black businesses around the country, because you know they got shows like Anthony Bourdain, and which is good. I like Anthony Bourdain's show. He goes all around the world showing different culinary spots. That's cool. So we need to do something like that when it comes to Black American businesses, because we don't have anything like that showing shit that we have popping. We have to start letting people know who's where and where's what. We got to start letting folks know that. So I think that's going to be a real fun thing. And just to get the whole community involved, man, I think that's going to be a real, real fun thing. You dig? Anyway, y'all, that's been today's show, man. Y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Oh, yeah, follow Herpy Hotep, the woke walrus, on Instagram. Y'all need to follow that account. Real funny stuff. Herpy Hotep is H-E-R-P-I Hotep on Instagram. Real funny stuff, family. And I am out. I'll holler at you guys possibly Sunday. I'll see. I'm going to be traveling, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing the show live on Sunday, but we'll see. I'll see where I am in the world. I'll be traveling, but I'll let you guys know.